Was Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, simple title, same title it's been the last 2 weeks, The Law of God, The Law of God. So, big deal. You know, if you, I'll just read this for you, just I'll turn to it to be accurate. It is as though John 1:18 summarizes the Bible. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so, you know, while we've spent, several weeks on the law, it's a big deal. But remember this, as we read this, the first week, you know, we use the law as believers because the law was given and every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And it's a great tool. The law is perfect. I'm converting the soul, Psalm 19:7. And so we use the law when we share the gospel because the law really highlights the bad news. We're in trouble. But I never want us to forget the law is good. It's always good. It's good for the lost that it shows them there's a problem. But it's good for us as well because it will be a guide. And don't overcomplicate God. He is super complicated. But he has brought himself and manifest himself to us in a way that we can grasp it and we can get it. And these Ten Commandments, I think, are really the ten cylinders, ten funnels that all sin comes from, right? And so it would be good for you to understand your weakness and ask God to help you overcome that sin and to be honest. So we're going to read verses 1 through 21 again tonight, and then I'm really going to begin to focus on verse 12 through 21 tonight. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Verse 18, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses," and I believe this is the wrong response, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses is going to, just some great insight here. I'm hoping to get there tonight. "And they said unto Moses," verse 20, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your eyes, that you sin not." I just constantly just love just being reminded the fear of the Lord should lead us to sin not. You know, and so that's the great purpose of the fear of the Lord. You know, it's to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is beginning, but the fear of the Lord, you look at this verse 20, and he said, "And that his fear may be before your eyes, that you sin not." That's good. Verse 21, "And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was." We're going to focus on the fifth commandment, Commandment 5 through 10, those are the last six. Oh, wow, okay, there's the first four. But the first four are unto God, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I just want to make one note, I didn't highlight this last week, but look at verse 11. For those people that want to make Genesis to be something that it's not, God reiterated that he literally created it in 6 days. He's telling them that on the seventh day, they should rest. Because he said, and he uses this, for in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. So, you know, he does this in other places, but this particular place, he says, in 6 days, and it wasn't representing anything other than six literal days. I do want to bring this up because both Bill and Jill had this same question after I mentioned this last week when I said, you don't have to believe in creation to be a Christian. And they know somebody that is a staunch evolutionist, and their devotion to evolution is a barrier to spiritual things. They all agree when we talked about this, right? So their experience was this. So I want to help you understand this. The person that they both thought about, right? That's the issue that'll keep them from going to heaven. They must repent of that and let go of that. And that's the issue. Rich young ruler, it was his stuff. Covetousness, right? And with that, so when I said this, here's why I said this. I think I said this as well. You know, probably, you know, you can be a stupid Christian and believe in evolution. But the reason why, and the reason why I say that, if I said you have to believe in the six-day literal creation, I've added to the gospel. You follow me? Look, you want to honor God, you'll believe the Bible the way it says. Okay? But in order for you to be saved, you don't have to know how God made everything. But I will tell you this, it is, for them and many others, it's a barrier that until they can let go, until they can have a change of mind, repentance about that, right? So it was a great question. They both had that question. But when you see this in verse 11, for in 6 days, it removes any, what I think is just, I know this is strong, I think it's evil for people to want to suggest you can't take the Bible literally and understand it the way the Bible says it. All of a sudden, then you have to become some king, some guru, and figure out what God was trying to say. He says what he means and means what he says, and sometimes he has allegories, but he tells us that. Sometimes he has parables, and he tells us that. Sometimes he has illustrations, and he tells us that. Sometimes he has symbols, and he tells us that. All the time. And so, I mean, I'm an extremist at that. I take Revelation literally, unless it said otherwise. I'm going to my grave. Because I'm not going to be the king and tell you. Well, let me tell you what it says. I am super uncomfortable when Jesus doesn't define the parables. I'm like, ah! I'm a genius when he does. But I would rather, and he chose not to give us all the explanation, right? Bummer. No, everything he does is perfect. But I wish he had. But not. I think that's sin too. Wishing that God did something that he, because what he did was perfect. And he wanted me to think. And the old thinker is just not as good as it should be. And anyway, enough said. Fifth commandment, honor thy father and mother. Let's look at verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's a big deal. And if you understand the progression of the Ten Commandments, everything's about God, but then everything is about God and what he has provided and created. And we didn't get to vote on our parents. And he says, honor thy father and thy mother. And I've told you this in past messages. It is amazing to me that the people with the worst parents seem to honor them better than people with good parents. It ought not to be. And I think we get so selfish. And we ought to be so thankful and so grateful for our parents. But parents, let me help you with this. And so it's, you know, I think I told you the other day, the two things that I told my son Josh and my daughter Emily, with Cliff, he's 14 months, probably give me 15 months here in a week or so, right? When's his birthday? January 4th. So Saturday, 15 months, right? When are you going to start counting months? I don't know. At least my age, you do. So it is, he'll be 15 months, and one of the things they've taught him so well, and did I mention this already, is they, 15 months, right? So when we say, Cliff, no, he turns and goes to something else. And how easily distracted. He allows himself to be distracted. I don't know. And some kids, let me just tell you, they're like, oh, yeah? You can spank me all day long and it won't make any difference, right? So I know. You get those, you know. That's why Christians, when they're raising their kids, sometimes they're like, I know, they're a child of the devil. They're lost. But they do a great job, and they're teaching him no. And so, and then they don't have screen time, but it's this. What they're also teaching him, honor thy father and thy mother. Life is about submission. If you can't submit to people you see that God gave to you, what makes you think you're going to submit to the God that you've never seen? And oh, parents, you are helping your kids delight in submission. It is good. You have been given the joy of having children, and children, God gave you your parents. And let me just tell you this. One of the greatest ways that you can honor God is by honoring your parents. They're imperfect, but honor them. I want to walk through tonight just four thoughts about honoring your parents. The first is obedience, right? Oh, so I thought I put that verse up there, but I didn't. Now, you guys know the verse, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, that's an important phrase. So children, I want you to understand this. If your parents tell you to do something evil or ungodly that you know God would not have you to do, don't do it. Okay? I pray and trust that's not going to be anybody in this room, but I'm just telling you, God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. If your parents tell you to do something, and I don't know of anything, you know, I think you guys want me to preach this, right? Because, you know, I tell husbands, you know, or wives, submit yourselves under your husbands in the Lord. If your husbands tell you to do something wrong, don't do it. Kids, don't do it. But children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so, you know, I had a good time with my kids. I let them know, I'm the guy that determines if you live long or not. We'll see how you're doing with that honor and obedience. You know, we'd have fun with them. And the fear of dad was the beginning of wisdom. And then we needed to help them understand it's the fear of the Lord, right? But it's obedience. So obedience is doing what you're told to do. And so it doesn't matter, kids, if you disagree with your parents, if it's not sinful, you should obey. They tell you to do something, do it. When? Right away. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Right? It's like, in a second, no. Right now. Parents, when you tell your kids to do it right now, you are helping your kids, if they ever have to work for income, be great employees one day. Not the people that are just, you know, resisting everything that they're told. You're helping them cope in life. God's brilliance with these commandments are just preparing us for life. You don't want your kids to be resistant with every command they're given. You want them to say, you know what, you're the boss. And when God says something, you want them to say, you know what, you're the boss. I then want you to understand honor. I think it's encompassing, but obedience, doing what we're told to do. Honor is what I believe honor is. It is doing what you know they would want you to do without being told. It's a big deal, right? So we play this game sometimes spiritually. Well, God didn't say that. Tell me, what do you think he wants? He didn't say it. Oh, you know what he wants. Everybody, generally speaking, knows what God wants. But if he didn't say it, I mean, that's the whole thing, you know, about Jesus didn't say anything about X, Y, or Z. And so, God did, and Jesus is God. Did he have to say it 100 times? And so it's honor. And so understand this, it's honor. I met a guy tonight, and you know, he was lost, but my heart went out to him. His wife answered the door. And you know, she was, I didn't immediately think, man, we're not all there tonight. You know, somebody talks to me and I'm like, how you doing? You know, I mean, I'll talk to him. And then afterwards, I kind of reflected and I thought, yeah, she didn't seem to be, she was a little, something was different, right? Well, she had dementia. And he comes up and because I thought he was just going to slam the door, and he came out and talked to me. She said, no, she has dementia. And I told him, I said, you know, my dad had dementia, didn't know me the last 2 years. And he said, oh, we go to Sacred Heart. I said, good news, you don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven. And I didn't, you know, finish my phrase. If you'd like to go first class, you know, but, I told him, I said, you know, thank you for loving your wife and honoring her. I said, I can't imagine how hard it is, even though I saw some of it with my dad, and my mom bore all the brunt of it. And I said, thank you for honoring your vows. And I said, are you sure you're going to heaven? And I went into the gospel, right? But it is, I want you to understand this. He honored his wife, but I would guess this, and he was older. I can't imagine his parents were alive. He probably honored his parents. You're going to see this in just a second. You know what your dad's health insurance plan is when he gets old? I'm looking at her. You're like, I'm moving far away. Far away. I'm looking at her. Yeah. Yeah. You ready to take care of your parents? Mm-hmm. They changed your diaper. You might have to change theirs. What a thought, huh? Yeah. Right? And you know, I mean, really, you understand that. You're the first line of defense. We're going to see that, right? So honor thy father and thy mother. Third thing is you attention to instruction, you know, or you listen to them, right? Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. This is over and over and over and over and over again in Proverbs. God gave you parents so that you would listen to them. Not so you can ignore them, not so you can stay away from them, so that they would help you. And I'm telling you, all the parents that I know, I think all the parents that we have, I think you're trying to help your kids. I don't know of any parents out there, at least at our church, and I know they're bad parents. They're bad parents. So I just want to tell all our kids this, listen to your parents. Listen to them. Listen to them. I mean, who was it? Oh, yeah, I just heard a story. Somebody had helped their son save $20,000. He turned 18. They said, you know, we're going to let you manage your money. And they were trying to give him advice. And he goes, I don't need any of that from you. 6 months later, he had nothing. Nothing to show for it. Blew right through it. $20,000, that's quite the work before you're 18. Didn't want to listen to his parents, and now when he blew through $20,000, he kind of wishes he would have. Right? Listen to your parents. And then fourth, I just want to show you that it's gratitude and care. Gratitude and care. Honoring your parents. Obedience, it's honor, it's attention to instruction, it's listening to them, but it's gratitude and care. Look at 1 Timothy 5:4. It's but if any widow have children or nephews, let them first learn to show piety at home and to requite repay their parents. So it's this. It is, you know, so my mother-in-law is not a widow indeed. She has four children, and we are the first line of defense. If we can, and we should, those four children, and including the spouses, my mother-in-law should never be a financial drain or a burden for this church, because that's our job. That's our job. You understand? That's what the Bible says. And so, same with my mother, right? Our ministry can change, right? Gerald and Bev have lived that, you know, for the last 5+ years, right? And your lives changed. Your lives changed because I just want you to remember this, though. Why was it worth it? It's because it honored God. That's why it's worth it. Because if you would only do it because you're going to get a thank you every time, you didn't. In fact, the ones that help the most seem to get the most blame, right? But remember this, we honor God. We honor Christ. Remember this, why does it matter that we would listen to God and His instruction and follow His commandments? Because it honors Him. Now, to be clear, the gateway to blessings are by keeping His commandments. That, He says that over and over and over again in the Scriptures. You want God's blessings? Listen to Him and obey. And it starts this way. I want you to fight if there's a resistance. And so I know this. When you're growing up and you want independence and love your parents through it. 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 They're imperfect. Love your parents through it, right? It'll be good. All of us. And so honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the land. And so it's a big deal. Commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Now I love this. This is the Hebrew word that in a broad sense means murder, okay? And so, you know, people are going to, I haven't heard this in a while, but years ago people would criticize thou shalt not kill, but you know, why are you for capital punishment? Well, we're going to just in another chapter or two, we're going to deal with capital punishment. That's different. That's God establishing government to punish the evil and be a blessing to the good. And He says there's things that when they cross this line, then government has the authority to administer capital punishment or to take their life. We as individuals do not have that right. You understand this? He says, in self-defense, we're going to see that. And God prescribed certain situations. He established 7 cities of refuge when it was like, you know, it could have been involuntary manslaughter is what we call it today. Like He uses a specific example. When an axe head flies off your axe, well, you should have taken care of that axe. Boing, and kills your neighbor. It looks a little suspicious. But if they do the investigation, they say, you know, it looks legit. But you should have taken care of that axe. You don't get complete freedom. You have to go live in the city of refuge until the high priest dies. But you're not put to death because it was an accident. And you're not put to death if God had some... You're gonna love the biblical law, and even in Exodus we'll deal with much of that, when He gives very specifics that help you understand the level of engagement with the government, right? So thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, as Jesus said, you know, when He was just dealing with it, he used the word murder. That was the same thing. But I want to show you this. Remember I said that these commandments encompass so much more? And Jesus is the one that highlights this. He highlights this in Matthew, but it also in 1 John, where He says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. I just want to tell you this. If you can have hatred toward a brother or sister in Christ, you are probably not saved. Is that not what that says? Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That should be a red flag for you. Hatred is off limits for God. For us. Right? We're not God. Right? And so He says that, and so I want you to understand this. The hatred is what? Murder of the heart. Murder of the heart. Now then Jesus, you know, I'm not going to go into all the details of this. Matthew 5, He deals with anger. Anger! And it doesn't seem like rage. He's just dealing with anger. He says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, so He's like, oh, let me help you really with what this is dealing with. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. It's dealing with just a whole bunch that anger, insults, of you know, labeling your brother. It's this. He is saying encompassed within that is anger, is insults, is labeling, foolishness. Folks, thou shalt not kill. Jesus expanded it broadly. There's really, understand this. There's no place in the Christian life for meanness, for unkindness, for anything that borderlines hatred. There's no place for it. There's absolutely zero place for it. Why? Why does it matter? Because if we don't honor our father and mother, if we are angry people all the time, if we are just known for like mean spirit and hatefulness, who do we misrepresent? God. That's why these matter as well. We are walking billboards for the Lord. If we're walking around being mean, and I know you're like, Steve, why don't you just deal with Steve? I am, but I have to preach this, right? You know, so trust me, I get it. I'm probably I feel like I'm done. I don't say as much as goes through my head, right? So I'm making progress. But I feel like, I'm easily irritated. But it's not good. It's not good. You know, because I represent Christ. It's not good. You pray for me on Sunday. I want to have the Spirit of Christ. I want to have the Spirit of Christ. I could preach truth, and if I don't preach it in love, it's utter failure. You understand that? It's utter failure. And so it matters. I don't want you to get caught up on the rules, on the list of rules. I want you to get caught up on the honor of Christ. And I'm a representative. I'm an ambassador for Christ. That's why it matters. That's why he goes to the dregs of the details of anger, of insults, of labeling, you know, just name calling. There's no place for that for a Christian. You understand that? And so, I remember Sunday, I called people num-nums. Probably shouldn't. Should have been focusing on Matthew 5, right? And even if it gets a laugh, it's not good, right? It's like, I probably shouldn't. Because then, your kids, hey, num-num. I need to think about those things. I represent Christ. You represent Christ. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. And thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You're familiar with this. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he goes into detail here because, people are just like, I've never touched a woman that's not my wife. But he says this. He says that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. It's vice versa, the same with a woman toward a man, and it's adultery of the heart. I didn't put this on the board, but I don't want to be awkward here. But this is why I wanted to encourage that man. And I did share the gospel with him, but when I see somebody doing the hard thing for one of God's creation, it's a big deal to me. I wanted to encourage him because he seemed tired, right? It's a tiring thing. And but this is the reason why it matters how I treat my wife and my faithfulness to the vows that I've given her. Again, because it'll misrepresent Christ. How many preachers, right? How many preachers do we all know that people just remember and don't want anything to do with Christianity? Because I will tell you this, I get the link. That guy's telling us what to do and he's not doing what he's telling us what to do in the first place. It must be a joke. That's how we communicate that, right? But let me just help you with this. I didn't put these on the screen, but I'm going to just talk about three things. I'm just going to talk about flirtation, okay? I don't see any of that, so I'm the last to find out. I'm less observant than I thought I was. And let me talk to the married people, okay? Let me talk to the married people. And the single people, be careful, little single, who you flirt with, right? And so I'm dealing with flirtation. There ought not to be any flirtation, between a married man and a married woman that's not your wife. Period. I'm not saying you can't enjoy God's people. You know the difference. Do you not know the difference? You know the difference, right? You know the difference. And so I'm just telling you, none, zero, understand this? Ought not to be between God's people I'm not saying, let's be friendly in an open setting, and all that's good. I just tell you, years ago, I had a young adults class. And it still bothers me to this day. I'm ultimately responsible. I was the leader of that class, and it grew, God blessed, in a great way in terms of numbers. There were, under my watch, 6 affairs that happened. And I never saw it coming. Do you understand why I'm like, hey, why I'm a little hypersensitive? Destruction, every one of them. Just destruction. Terrible. Terrible. And what in the world am I doing? And so, I promise you, if I think you're flirting, I'm coming up to you. I'll do it privately. Oh yeah, I'm going to. You know why? I'm not going to go, I knew it. No, I'm gonna tell you something. I thought somebody was smoking marijuana the other day. And I said, come here, I need to talk to you. I said, I smelled a skunk when I walked by you the other day. And I said, are you smoking marijuana? And they insisted to me that they weren't. They didn't know I'd done some more research, and the research did exonerate them a little bit, right? Got access to their car, you know? And why did I do that? Not because I was trying to help them. You know this? What? Wake up, right? Wake up. Wake up. You don't want to commit adultery. I don't think one Christian, you say, oh, I don't want to do that. You don't flirt, it won't happen. Follow me? I'm talking, you know what? It's a big deal. No texting unless you copy your spouse. I told our guys, haven't I told you guys this? I said, you got to be careful, you know, that you're just texting all the ladies, right? You better get used to it. You want to be a one-woman man? You ain't going to be texting no other girls anymore, right? So probably need to start tapering it down now, right? Isn't that wisdom? Wisdom, right? I mean, I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to be like some, Ricky Rulebook, you know. I'm trying to help you, right? You need to start developing patterns now so that it won't be that big a deal when you have one woman, right? Amen? I mean that, okay? So I'm just telling you, we want to have a place that's safe for children, for husbands, for wives, for singles, that we can rejoice in, right? I want people to get married to other people within the church. Amen, I do. And I know it's terrifying as a pastor. I'm like, oh God, please help. And so I want it to be good. It's good, right? And so, but it's, I'm just telling you this. You understand this? I'm not out there going, I'm not. Just let's help, you know, and I'm not asking for us to do that. I'm just talking to each one of your hearts. There ought not to be any flirtation between, you're married, don't you just flirt. You know what? Okay, fine. You got it. You still got it. You know? I mean, stop trying to validate it, right? I'm just telling you, be a one-woman man, be a one-man woman, and you'll be okay. You follow me? Flirtation. Second, what you're reading, what you're watching, what you're listening to will affect your actions. There is so much available to us today that will cause you. I'm just telling you this. I have no idea what you're watching. If you guys are watching that trash on television, you know, I don't care who it is. Housewives from anywhere is not okay, right? Let me just tell you, it ought not to be a part of a Christian's life. You'll start thinking bad. You understand that? That's why the devil has it. You ought not to be watching these shows that just woo-hoo-hoo gets my heart going. You know, and all of a sudden then you're imagining Prince Charming that doesn't exist. You watch garbage, you'll think garbage, you'll act on garbage. You follow me? I don't know anybody watching that garbage, but I just there's nothing on TV worth watching. You tell me and I'll skip Sunday night right with you and stay home and watch it too. You follow me though? What you read, what you listen to, what you bring into your mind is going to affect you, and you don't think it's going to affect your actions? Starts right there. I'm trying to help you with this. You know, we can talk, oh, thou shalt not commit adultery. But let's get down to little brass tacks here. What you know, the old song, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. You know, I could sing the whole song, but I could tell you guys don't want me to. But it makes a difference. You follow me? Makes a difference. You know the old garbage in, garbage out, right? It's what you put into your body, both food and spiritual, is what will ultimately affect it. And so I'm just telling you, so it's flirtation, what you put in your, and then I'm going to tell you this, and I think by God's grace, it's been pretty good, and I don't really pay attention. I should, but, and it's not, let me just, when I tell this, dressed modestly, men and women. I want to make sure you understand this. I don't think any man should go up to a woman and address her modesty in this church. You understand that? I think our older women ought to help me as a pastor, right? And help all of our men, okay? And ladies, if one of the older women come up to you and go, hey, right? They're doing it because they want you to honor God, okay? We got to do the difficult things, right? It's going to get warmer, right? I don't think you can go to Kings Island anymore. I can't. I mean, Kings Island's so ridiculous now, right? It's just ridiculous. Nobody wears clothes to Kings Island. The emperor has no clothes, and neither does Kings Island, right? I'm just telling you, you better think about those things, right? Something flashed up on my on YouTube the other day, and it was spring break. I couldn't even look at the cover thing. It was that bad. This was just like a picture of spring break. Immodest, immodest. Guys, look away. Don't blame the girls. Girls, dress modestly. It's a two-way street. No girl deserves to be mistreated if she dresses immodestly, but you're going to draw the wrong guys. You want to draw flies, be a piece of meat. Right? I'm just telling you, you want a godly, I'll talk to the ladies, right? And guys as well, right? Guys as well, dress modestly. You know, I mean, you don't have to show your guns off. I mean, look at that. I'm always wearing a sport coat. It's a modest. it's a gut thing. But girls, let me help you with this. If you dress immodestly, you're going to draw the wrong guys. And I want you to dream about, it's okay to dream about marriage. Be content with whatsoever state you're in. There's no Prince Charming. But you want a man that loves God. If a man really loves God, he's going to have major red flags if you're just dressing him honestly. Right? You trust the Lord. I go into these because I care. I know. And I don't talk about this a lot. We don't want to fall in this area. And you know how often it is in the New Testament? When you read most of the works of the flesh, the first half are generally physical failures and unfaithfulness, right? It's unbelievable. And he's addressing this to churches. We better not kid ourselves. Let's be honorable because Christ is worth it. You follow me? I think I've told you this. My son came up to me at his wedding and he said, I don't think I've ever said this from the pulpit. Maybe I have. He said, Dad, have I said it from the pulpit? Yeah, you're tired of it. I'm going to tell you it anyway. For those that haven't heard, Dad, I'm a virgin. And I said, well, Josh, that's awesome. I said, you know why it matters? And I love it. He goes, I think so, Dad. So he's like, we're going to have a dad moment. And I said, you honored Christ. And I tell you this, if you have blown it, honor Christ today. You'll hear the voices of the devil saying, you're a used piece of meat. Doesn't matter anymore. It matters. Wednesday matters. Wednesday matters. Honor Christ today. Morning by morning, his mercies are new. Let's honor the Lord today. He's worth it. Don't you listen to those voices that say, it doesn't matter. It matters today. Wednesday matters. Thursday matters. But I can't live for God on Thursday until I wake up and I'm alive. And then I say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I say, and then maybe I'll have eye contact. Thank you for that, Elizabeth. This is, thou shalt not commit adultery. You've got to put things in your life that say this. You won't fall off the cliff if you don't go on the edge of the cliff. So have some thoughts that'll keep you from the cliff. I don't know how I fell off. Well, you walked to the cliff, right? And the same way with all this. Do you not understand? And if somebody, if God's so kind, he puts somebody in your life and they go, what are you doing? And they may not address it perfectly, because when we address hard things, we usually don't do it perfectly. Wake up and listen to them. Why don't you just weep and say, thank you. And then do what's right. Do what's right. Do what's right, because God's worth it. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal, right? It's I'm gonna show you. It's interesting, right? The Bible doesn't deal with stealing a lot. But it happens to deal with stealing with God's people. So will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? This is God speaking to them. In tithes and offerings. Oh, they robbed him in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I know. Guys, I am not this guy that goes like, because there's a lot of people, Old Testament, New Testament. And I'm like, who cares? God expects you to give. I'm telling you that not because I'm trying to boost the offering. I'm just telling you that for your own good. You need to give the first fruits, not see what's left over. You need to give. Here's what he says. This is, I believe this applies to us just as much as it did to Israel. And you are not going to be able to prove that to me. I'm so tired of Old Testament. And because you know everybody, Old Testament, they teach a different salvation too. Let me tell you, I have no place for that. Salvation's the same. God's principles are the same. I tell you this for your care. You should give. How do we rob God? Tithes and offerings. He said they're cursed with a curse. It's interesting. It's the only disobedience. It's the only obedience, disobedience. The obedience is he'll open up the windows of heaven. Disobedience, you're cursed with a curse. I mean, it's like double curse. I don't know what cursed with a curse is. Double curse, curse squared. He says that. You wrestle with God over that. I'm just telling you this. I gotta be careful. I don't want to lose people over money. I believe this. I've been accused, but I think I speak about money less than most preachers. I'm not interested in your money. I'm trying to help you honor God. And if you're not given, you're not honoring God. I was going to say this and I wasn't going to say it. Now I'm going to say it. I don't think you should take the Lord's Supper if you're stealing from God. I'll leave it at that. You chew on it, disagree with me, say he's a moron. I'm just telling you, obey God. Proverbs, remove, and this would be, so who asked me if I was going to get through the Ten Commandments tonight? You've cursed me with a curse. You cursed me with a curse. Proverbs 30, because I see that old clock there. Proverbs 30, it says, this ought to be our goal. This ought to be our goal. You can talk to the Lord about this. Remove from me vanity and lies. Boy, that would be good. Emptiness, just living for just dumb, right? Remove from me, far from me, vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Boy, that, just Lord, I just, give me this day my daily bread. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. It's a decent request. Oh, Lord, just provide me with, and it goes back to that contentment, right? I thought about this. I thought, Cliff is the picture of contentment. He's bald. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He's mooching off his parents. And if he has food and he's well, he sleeps. And when he's hungry, you are my problem. Right? And he's a happy baby, happy baby. That guy eats, man, he eats. I mean, sure, he had broccoli for the first time. And you know what he did with broccoli? He's like, man, but then he's eating the trees, man. He'll eat it all. He does. He's like, whoosh, whoosh. And so be content. It is, I will tell you that if you ask me, how do Christians steal from God? It's time, talents, and treasure. We don't give God our time. We don't give God our talents. And we don't give God our treasure. If Christians did those three things and we had our focus on Christ, this world would be different. I don't tell you that, I know. I don't tell you that to make you mad. I just tell you that to help you. I'll preach this when I'm not a pastor. And I believe that's where it's at. Now, I'll finish these next week because these are big. This one's big. And I'm not going to go into this. So I'm going to do 9 and 10 and then maybe I won't read 1 through 21 for the fourth week in a row. And we'll talk about thou shalt not bear false witness and thou shalt not covet. There's a lot with those. I want you to examine your own heart. Me too. Where do I struggle? Every single one of us, besetting sins are connected to one of these 10. Follow me? Where is it? Bearing false witness is pretty broad. It's the tongue. Oh, yeah. And we'll see that next week. So you think we haven't addressed some of your sins. Oh, we'll get there. Just know this. God's good. He gives us instruction to help us. And let's delight in it. His ways are good. Let's pray. Father.